How many of you believe in gravity? But why do you believe in it? Because you can't see it. I mean, you can see effects of it, but you can't actually see gravity. You can't touch gravity. You can't... Why do you believe in gravity? Even though you can't actually see gravity, some of you are thinking, where is he going with this? What scripture is that out of the Bible? Even though you can't see it, there's no doubt that it is real. Gravity is real for everyone, whether they acknowledge it or not. I mean, you can say, I don't believe in gravity, but if your feet are still planted on the ground, it's still true. So it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, the truth is still the truth. Gravity exists. Okay? So it is with the creator of gravity. So it is with the creator of gravity, Jesus Christ. Is still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the ruler of the universe, whether people acknowledge it or not. It doesn't change the fact that He is the Lord. People may say that, well, He's your God, but He's not mine. And I've actually had people say that. Well, He's your Savior, but He's not my Savior. We can fix that, that's right. We can't, but we can lead them to the one that can. Fix that. Folks, He's still God, whether they acknowledge it or not. His existence doesn't depend on our recognition of it. Here's the truth. Even if they don't know, they will someday. The problem is that it may be too late. You see, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. What do y'all think the Bible writer meant when the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to say, Paul in this case, to write every? Every believer's knee will bow. Everyone in the United States of America. Every Jew. Every knee will bow. And guess what? I've got two of them. That means both of my knees will bow. And if you've got two of them also, every one of your knees and every knee that has ever been should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Folks, listen, there's some deep theology in that statement. Even those that are under the earth, okay, well, that means they're dead or it means they've already... you know, died without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they're in that, in hell, folks. Even then and there, they will know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John wrote something in chapter 8 of his gospel, in verses 23 and 24. He says, speaking of Jesus, Jesus continued, He said, you are from below, I am from above. This is Jesus speaking. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. Listen, if you do not believe that I am He, you will indeed die in your sins. There's a statement there. It says, if you do not believe that I am He, I am the one I claim to be, okay, you will indeed die. Die in your sins. Folks, that is truth whether you acknowledge it or not. The problem is, if you don't acknowledge it here, there's going to come a day when you're going to go, that dude was right. What can I do about it now? Oh, wait, it's too late. Folks, I'm not a hellfire and brimstone teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Turner Burn kind of guy, you know, but... listen, folks, there's truth to that. There's truth to that. I don't want to scare somebody. I don't want to scare the hell out of people, okay? And take that for what the way I intended. I don't want to scare people out of away from going to hell. I want them to love to not want to not have to go to hell. I want them to love that they've got life everlasting. So I don't want to scare somebody. But folks, if we don't make it known the reality, then we're doing people a great disservice. We've got to let people know that there is a sense of urgency. Did you know that across this nation, across this state, probably even in this greater metro area of Houston, Texas, okay? I don't know, it's weird to say that we're part of the metro area of Houston, Texas, because we ain't city folk out here. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But there's more than likely somebody that's going to be going home today that's not going to make it home. Car accident, mugging, sickness, whatever, okay? Folks, sometimes we just never, ever know. We never know. Today may be our last. I don't know. I don't want you walking out of here going, well, you know what? Brother Mike said that at some point later on down the road, I could make that decision. I don't want to, you please never hear me say that. I pray that I would never preach that. Because if you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit to act upon anything in your life, right now is the time. At that very moment is the time that you should respond. Anything else is disobedience. God honors obedience. John was so confident of Jesus and his lordship. He was confident of Jesus' lordship because of this close relationship that he shared with him. See, John was part of the inner circle. John was one of the inner three, okay? And he was privy to a little bit deeper relationship than some of the other disciples. But he wrote, and he knew. And what he writes in 1 John, and we spoke on this recently. In 1 John, he writes this, "That which was from the beginning," speaking of Jesus Christ, remember? "Which," let's see, where am I at? "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, has now appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." You see, John, he said, "I'm not telling you some things that I've heard through the grapevine. I'm not telling you something I pulled off of Wikipedia off the internet," okay? Because some stuff is actually not true on the internet. John said, I'm not giving you third-hand information. I'm telling you, I've been there, I've seen it, I've done it, I've got the t-shirt to prove it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is real. Always has been, always will be. Scripture is very specific on the lordship of Jesus Christ. Our world does not like specific. Did you know that? Okay? I mean, what's the hottest topic in the news right now? Bathroom, that's it. The hottest topic in the news right now. Well, the world says, well, you know, it's not that specific. It's not that cut and dry. And I'm thinking, okay, either it is or it isn't. You know, there's a way to check and find out. Okay? I'm not going to go into those details. But there is a way to know whether you're a man or a woman. Okay? But the world wants to get vague. Well, hang on a minute. That's not necessarily the case. Scripture is very, very specific on the lordship of Jesus Christ. We want vagueness. We want ambiguity. We want to be able to back out and crawfish out of a situation if it gets a little too difficult. We want all of those things. Our age is not interested in theological precision. Okay? God, for most Americans, really is an important person in whom to believe. And a lot of people believe in God. I've thrown the statistic around that there was a poll done, and 95% of the people that took this poll in America said, yes, I believe in God. Okay? They believe in a God. B, They believe that there is some supreme being, some higher power, somewhere, somehow, and they believe that. And they believe that sincerely. Yes, we have to believe that. It's just what it is, you know. And they believe that, but they don't go further. There's no going further with them. They don't want to narrow it down, because then it starts to get a little itchy. If you're praying in public some places, you can pray to God. But people have been told, you can pray to God, but don't pray in Jesus' name. That's too specific. We want to leave it vague enough that people can interpret for themselves who they want the God to be. You see, we want vagueness. They say that God's an important person to believe in, but it doesn't seem to make much difference whether or not the God they worship is the correct God or not. We all probably would agree that it would be dangerous to die as an atheist. Would you agree that? It'd be dangerous to die as an atheist. But less concern is often expressed about the eternal status of a person who, though believing in God, has rejected Jesus Christ. Scripture says they're one and the same. They're distinctly different, but they're part of the same. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Godhead. Okay? So foundational is this concept that we believe in Jesus Christ, that He is God's Son and He is our Lord. So foundational is that, that if you don't nail that down, you have nothing else to build upon. My sister down in Pearland, you know, they got the black gumbo down there, the ground, talk about the soil, right? Their house, they bought this nice house, they lived in it for a while, and then all of a sudden this little crack started developing in the kitchen, the tile started breaking. And before it was done, it ran from one end of the house all the way to the other side. They're now in a remodeling of their house. They got it leveled back up, jacked down. They drilled some deep holes and put some piers in there and kind of stabilized the house. And now they're redoing the tile, the countertops, bathroom, all that stuff that was destroyed because of this weak foundation. Folks, their house was not built on a good foundation. And it affected everything. If you don't build your faith on the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, your faith will fail. It'll develop cracks. Stress will begin to break it apart. And before long, you've got an unsafe faith. Do we trust in Jesus Christ as both the universal Lord and our own redeeming King? His claim to the royal title over heaven and earth must receive our fullest honor. We must honor that when we say that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that all of creation cries out to Him, and we will join in with creation. You know, if we believe that, then we will honor all of who Jesus Christ is. Individually, this means that we must declare war on our own sinful hearts, and we must continue in the battle, however often we fail, until we were safe on the other side of eternity. Folks, it's a battle and it's a struggle. But never lose grasp of the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man or woman comes to the Father except through Him. He is the door. He is the way. He is the only way to have fellowship with the Father. He is the only way to have eternal salvation. Corporately, that means together, it means that we must dethrone these other forces, these other gods, these other little g gods, these other gods that are in our lives, the gods of this modern world that work against the kingdom of Christ, this God of everybody wins no matter what you do. Okay, and I'm not a big fan of participation trophies. Matter of fact, I don't think God's a big fan of participation trophies, because as far as salvation goes, either you win or you lose. You win or you lose. Some religions even believe that will always lead to God. And I've told you before, there is a certain truth to that. There's a certain truth to that always lead to God. The problem is, what is your answer going to be when you stand in front of Him? Because it says, every knee will bow and every mouth confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. But folks, if you've not done that, where you've got breath in you, you will... It's too late. Too late. I can't preach enough about the urgency of receiving Jesus Christ. No longer can we allow politics, marketing methods, therapy, make me feel good sermons, emotional experiences, compromise, or even speculation to reign in the church. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is His church. He is the King of this church. He is the head. Not our emotions, not our anything. Jesus rules and Jesus reigns. As our Lord Jesus Christ's word alone is to be believed and obeyed. Sometimes we make, you know, we take the whole, the totality of God's word, and we come up with some things called doctrine. Okay, we study these things through theology, the study of God, and we come up with some statements like the statement that we're talking about, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Today's topic, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Lord. That's the question for today. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that He is your Lord? As our supreme priest, His redeeming, justifying, and sanctifying work alone must be relied on. That means that as the high priest, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for me, we don't get to say, well, you know what? That's always there for me, and I'll take that if I need it, but I've got another way that I think might work. Folks, we can only rely on the work that Jesus Christ did. You see, here's the deal. The Bible says that there must be without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Somebody had to die. The God's Word says, look, sin is bad, and when you sin, death occurs. Tell me if I'm preaching it wrong. But God said this also, I love you so much though. I can't go back on my word. Would not go back on my word, because then I wouldn't be God. Wouldn't be a good God for sure. Okay? So, let me make a provision for you, He said. Allow me, my Son Jesus Christ, the part of the second person in the Trinity of the Godhead. Let me send Him to the earth to live your perfect life that you cannot live. And to die a death He doesn't deserve, but you certainly do. As payment, as that death requirement for your sin. And if you'll receive that gift, if you allow that to be your payment for your sin, then you can be back in fellowship with God the Father. Without that payment for your sin, you don't get fellowship with the Father, neither now nor forevermore. It's like a coupon. You can take the coupon and stick it in your pocket. I've got on my desk a 40% off coupon for Lifeway. That's a good thing. I like to go to Lifeway. But guess what? If I never take it down there and hand in the coupon and use and redeem the coupon, it never does me any good. You have a coupon. You have a free gift of salvation. But if you never receive that gift, you never put it into action, folks, you don't get the advantages of it. As our supreme King, His revealed will alone must guide and direct the mission and the methods of the church. You see, Jesus rules. Jesus reigns, whether you admit it, whether you acknowledge it or not. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Now, not just my Lord. He is the Lord of all. The question is, do you recognize His Lordship in your life? Is He really Lord in your life? In Matthew chapter, I believe it's 7, verse 21. I'm giving Chad a moment. There you go. Because I did not give him this verse a while ago. Jesus says this, "Not every one of you who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." It goes on and it says, "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers." Who's he talking to? He's talking to people that have said, Jesus is Lord. So what's the problem when they stood before Him? That's it. There's no personal relationship, no knowledge, no acknowledgement of a relationship there. You see, and I'm afraid that's where a lot of people in America are. They said, oh, yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, you bet. Okay? And then they go on. You see, folks, this word and this thing we're studying, we believe. Remember I told you earlier? Believe, the word believe has a whole different connotation nowadays. We need to get back to what it meant when they wrote this stuff. And what it meant was, it is so much a part of what I confess and so much a part of every fiber of my being that it affects everything that I do, everything that I say, everything that I touch, every activity I involve in. That what I say I believe is who I am. These people that are going to stand in front of Jesus one day, they say one thing, but do another. Folks, it's not working. That will not cut the mustard, as they say. You see, they called Him Lord with their mouth, but they didn't believe it because it didn't come out in their actions. I've just described a large number of so-called Christians. Oh, my friend, I hope, I pray that does not describe you. But if it does, let's mend that. Let's change that. Let's have a come to Jesus meeting. And let's come and throw our stuff down at the altar and say, that's who I was. I confess it. But I don't want to be that anymore. I want to believe with everything that's within me that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who hung on the cross, the one who they buried in the tomb, the one who blew the door open, came back out in victory over death and over sin, and is now at the seating at the right hand of the Father, praying for me. That's the Jesus! You got to believe in your heart. You got to believe in your heart. And that believe in your heart is not a head belief. It's a heart belief. And there's a whole lot of difference. That 15, 17, 18 inches, whatever that is, makes all the difference in the world, folks. Makes all the difference in the world. Does it come out in our actions? Is it a part of everything that I do and think about and say and involve myself in? Billy was baptized a while ago, and I asked him a couple questions. I said, who's the Lord of your life? He said, Jesus. Okay? He got that first part down where they said over here, many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord. Okay? He got that right. Jesus is Lord of his life. But then I asked him another question. Do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? That's what the Scripture says. I also asked him, do you believe that everything that the Scripture says about him is true? And he said, I do. You see, that's the difference. That's the difference. You can say whatever you want to say with your mouth, but it's what comes out through our actions. through our speech, through our attitudes, all of that stuff speaks louder than words. Speaks louder than words. What is it they say? The proof is in the pudding. I like good pudding. I've had some bad pudding. Okay? How do you know the difference? You taste it. You taste it. Guess what? Our life is going to be tasted one day. It's going to be tasted one day. Either it's going to go, that's good stuff. Or what's even worse is you may get spewed out. Going, it's not what it claimed to be. It's not what it claimed to be. Folks, I don't know what else to say. But today, we need to decide whether you've been a Christian for a long, long time, whether you're like my dad, who's almost 88 years old and at about 8 years old or whatever, made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. So he's lived a long, long time as a Christian. Or maybe you're as fresh as Billy Loomis, 2 weeks. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, yes. It matters that you've made that profession, yes. Where are you in your belief of that? Where are you as far as has it changed your DNA? The Scripture says that we will be transformed. You see, you can no longer stay the same. The old has gone and the new has come. You cannot be the same. Once you've encountered, nobody in Scripture who encountered Jesus Christ walked away the same. Whether they accepted Him or they rejected Him, they were all changed. So if you've made that profession, have you been changed? Are you still being changed today? And again, that doesn't matter whether your profession and faith in Jesus Christ was 80 years ago or as fresh as this morning. Are you being changed? Are you still being changed? Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the only way. Not only does Jesus Christ matter for our eternity forever after we die, folks, it'll impact the way you live your life here and now. Here and now. I've got a great offer for you. How many of y'all like great deals? How many of you like a good deal? I've got a good deal for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that today. Not only that, listen, it gets better. It's free. Not that it wasn't paid for, somebody else paid for it, but it's free to you. We have water in the baptistry. Everybody that gets baptized gets a free t-shirt. I've got a pair of shorts in there, so you don't even have to have clothes. Be prepared for anything. You say, Brother Mike, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized right now. I march you in there, get you a shirt, get you a pair of shorts, take you over there in some privacy. You get that gear on. We get you in the water. We baptize you. We get you get out. I even let you use a towel. Get dried off. Get your old clothes back on and come back out and everybody hoops and hollers for you. It's a great party. Not only that, but listen, the Bible tells us that when just one receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, all of heaven rejoices. No excuses. You have no excuse. You have no excuse. I just will throw it out there. If that's you today and you want to have that happen to you today, you march yourself down here in just a few moments and you say, I'm that dude or I'm that girl and I need that today and we're going to make it happen. Maybe that's not you today, but maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, man, you need to get with God yourself and tell Him whatever it is that you need to tell Him. Maybe you need to come for prayer. My wife and I will be down here in the front. For some of you that don't know, I asked my wife to come here at the front because sometimes somebody wants to come and they don't want to pray with this big old ugly guy right here. They want somebody nice and pretty to pray with. That's why my wife is here. She makes me look better. Okay? There will also be one of our deacons up here at the front and his wife. I don't know who that is today. But we're here for you to pray with. If you want to come for prayer, we would love to pray with you. Brother Hal would stop singing if you want to pray with Brother Hal. If you're a youth, you want to pray with Jonathan or Leanne, folks, they're available too. Listen, this is a house filled with people who want to pray with you. I'm going to shut up now and let's get down to business, because there's somebody that needs to take care of some business today. I just know it. Within my heart, I know it. What will you do? Do you accept or reject? There is no middle ground. What say ye? Father in heaven, help us. Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us help us to give you all of who we are. Father, trusting in you and you alone for our salvation. And Father, that's great, but like I told the graduates, Lord, I know that as soon as someone receives you as Lord and King in their life, you've got so much planned for here and now before eternity begins, Father. Oh, may we be on that plan. Father, I pray for someone who knows they need to make a decision, but they're embarrassed. Oh, that you would just help him to put all that aside. Because, Lord, you told us if we're ashamed of you before men, you'll be ashamed of us before the Father. Lord, I want you to never be ashamed to speak my name to God the Father. Lord, whatever it is that we need to decide on today, help us to firm it up and seal that deal today. Whatever it is, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? We're going to sing a song. This is your time to respond. The altar is open. We're here for you. You can bypass us altogether, go straight to the altar, and that's just fine and dandy. Nothing wrong with that. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. But we need to make sure that we're tending to business today, folks. Don't walk out of this door the same way you walked in. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 80 years. Don't walk out of here the same way. You can still walk out of here on a new path, taking it higher, taking it deeper. This is our time. You respond as the Spirit leads.